Morning. Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8 to 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up in search of David, and David heard of it and went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? And will you give them into my hand?" Then the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will give them into your hand." So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore they named that place Baal Perazim. They abandoned their gods there, so David gave the order, and they were burned with fire. The Philistines made yet another raid in the valley. David inquired again of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." David did just as God had commanded him, and they struck down the army of the Philistines from Gibeon even as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him on all the nations. My focus for this morning, very simply, is learning to listen and to obey, the art of being supernaturally sensitive. And basically, it comes down to three simple steps. Pastor Sam, you know, I talked briefly about his no drinking sort of policy for leadership, and you know, I once asked him, you know, a lot of leaders casually drink, you know, not a big deal, and I asked him, you know, what's your conviction, you know, based on what scriptures, and you know, what did you download that led you to this, you know, specifically and for your leaders. And he basically said he was referring to the Nazirite vow in the Old Testament, where they wouldn't cut their hair and they wouldn't touch anything impure, you know, dead animals, and they wouldn't drink, you know, in their whole lifetime alcohol. And so just this idea of sort of consecrating yourself. Yeah, it's not necessarily required. It's not a law, you know, so, you know, strictly that you have to live, you know, as a strict code. But he just wanted to position himself. He wanted everything that God had to offer, you know, and he didn't want to take any chances, and he just wanted to go after it all. And so that to him meant, in any way, shape, or form, keeping himself pure. So it wasn't the effects of alcohol or the sin stigma or, you know, weakness of not being able to control how much intake. It was none of the fears or the negative things. It was the positive. He was going after the heart of God. And his desire to want to be pure, his desire to want to receive authority and power, you know, sensitivity to the Spirit is what drove this policy. That's where the root of the heart of where this came from. And so if you understand that, then in some ways I think it disarms, because a lot of times you hear something like that and you think, well, why is he trying to put a law or trying to restrict or something? But he, you know, if he unpacks it, it's just that his heart, you know, earnestly seeks after God's heart and all that God has for him. And if that means doing this, this, and that, then he'll position himself. And so, you know, learning to listen and obey, you know, three simple steps. Living in purity. If you turn to Psalm chapter 24, I'll just read it for you real quick. Psalm chapter 24, verse 3 to 4. The significance of living in purity. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? Right? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? That's the place where we want to be. In verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. So step one is living in purity. Right, this very thing I mentioned about Pastor Sam, you know, just going after purity and being in a position really to be so supernaturally sensitive to be able to hear whether it's a thunderous call or whether it's a whisper. Step two, asking. Right, you know, we a lot of times God brings us or directs us through a particular situation, let's say yesterday, and then we just assume the next day that he's going to do it the same way. And really what cultivates this heart of listening and obeying is asking, just stopping and saying, God, okay, so this is what happened yesterday, but how do you want to do it today? It's like every hour, you know, of your day, even if just for a momentary pause, right? Even if for 5 seconds, saying, okay, God, what do you want in this situation? And the reason why I bring that up in this passage is in verse 14 that we read today, 1 Chronicles 14, in verse 10, the first time he goes into combat, right? You can highlight verse 10 and verse 14. David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines, and will you give them into my hand? Then the Lord said to him, go up, for I will give them into your hand. Okay, so awesome. God defeats them. David's, you know, victorious. But the Philistines in verse 13 made yet another raid. And so a lot of times what we do is, oh, this is what God did yesterday, so I'll just apply what I did yesterday to today. But look what David does in verse 14. David inquired again. Same people, same battle, similar circumstances, a different day. And here's the thing, David is so humble, right? He's seeking after God's, you know, insight, instruction. And check it out. Look what God says. You shall not go up after them. In fact, circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be when you hear such and such. So the way God did it the first time is not the way God led him the second time. Totally different, right? And David wouldn't have caught that if he didn't, you know, humble himself, stop and say, God, what are you saying to me right now? And so cultivating this, you know, step number two, asking, right? We usually assume, right? Oh, God, you know, it's taking care of me in here. And so for a week, I can kind of just, you know, go about how I think he's leading. And then if it's something really difficult or if I get stopped or something backfires, then I'll inquire of the Lord, sort of a mentality, right? But I was saying yesterday that we have to cultivate an attitude of humility. And you look at all these stories of David in the Old Testament, and really, I mean, you just aspire to have the passion and the heart that he has. But we read yesterday that at some point, he stopped doing these checks, right? I mean, honestly, I don't know what it is. And sometimes I wonder, you know, my wife and I are considering, kind of a side thing, but like, okay, we're going to pack all our things and we got to ship them to Beijing, and the incredible cost that goes into that. I mean, you know, it's you know, our church is sending us. We're not a company, right? I'm not on an expat package. And so then I'm processing right now, like, okay, we're missionaries, you know, maybe. And part of it has to do with the context of this passage. As I'm trying to process, you know, where did David go wrong? Is it after his first fine linen as a king, you know, after his first, you know, year or two of the best and choicest meals? Is it, you know, having the best room in the top of the palace? I'm just trying to figure out at what point did seeking after God and humbly asking him for direction get replaced with just sort of the comforts and everything I have I need kind of a mentality. And so I'm wondering, I'm processing it. Like, does that, you know, for me to guard against that sort of an attitude, you know, going to Beijing and, you know, I left Beijing, you know, or China single or married with no kids. And you know, it sort of in the past, I was thinking, yeah, I'm kind of like Abraham, you know, I came with nothing. And then God is now sending me out with a family and all this wealth every time I pass through kingdoms. And I was like, yeah, I don't mind that route. Right. But maybe God is saying, you know, let every few years, maybe just let it all go. I don't know how applicable that is or how realistic that is, but maybe like every 4 or 5 years, whatever wealth I've accumulated, let it go and just give it away. You know, it's a more realistic choice for me now because I kind of may not have a choice going from Hong Kong to Beijing. I mean, it's ridiculous, the taxes and the costs. And so, you know, I'm just kind of searching through my heart. Maybe that's what it takes. You know, every 4 or 5 years when we have accumulated or gotten to a certain status, you know, this kind of exercise or practice of just letting it all go again. You know, you've gotten to a certain lifestyle in Hong Kong and certain comforts, and then maybe God's calling you to another city. You know, maybe he's calling all of you to Beijing with us, right? And maybe that means letting it go. But this idea. And so in any sense, you know, coming back to this idea of asking. And then step number three, right, really simply, is take three steps, Right? So step number one is living in purity, as I mentioned in Psalm 24, 3 to 4, because at some point in our life when we're not intimate with the Lord, we get to this place like, where am I? And then we say, God, I need more of you. I need more of your power. I need to experience you more. Why isn't it happening? Then you go to this verse, you know, step number one, Psalm 24, 3 to 4, who may ascend? Step number two, right? You don't assume that what God did yesterday is the same thing he's going to do today in applying the same situations and circumstances. So we ask humbly, because God doesn't do always what he did the first time the same way what he does the second time the way he did it the first time. And then third, step number three is take three steps. And this basically is applied from what I got from Pastor Dominic when he was here before our retreat. If you guys remember, a year ago he had come to do a prophetic activation sort of weekend conference. And one thing I remember clearly is, you know, him and Pastor Janice were up here, and they were saying it. They said it several times. They said, you have to die 1,000 deaths. In essence, what they were saying is you have to humble yourself and you have to be willing to lose face, right? Take a step of faith, right? Lose face, take a step of faith, and be willing to put yourself in a situation that is uncomfortable, and maybe you get it wrong, right? It's humbling, right? I mean, when I first got here, you know, it's the first time I heard of the prophetic word and word of knowledge and Pastor Sam and like all these guest speakers and Chia and all these leaders, like they're speaking into people's lives, and like I'm trying to say something and nothing's coming out, or I say something and like it's not really, you know. And so the fear of saying something wrong or the fear of getting it wrong oftentimes usually will keep us from even taking a step of faith, right? But step number three is take three steps. Whatever you sense God is calling on your heart, check it in the scriptures, check it in your heart. And then instead of saying, well, is it or is it not? Oh, I don't know, so I'm not going to try. Don't take one step, take three steps. Don't try five times, try 10 times. Keep at it. So you try it your first time, you get it wrong. You try it your second time, you get it wrong. You begin to hone and exercise and begin to become more aware of God's voice against your voice or against the enemy's voice. The more you go at it, right? The more you hone in and understand it and get clarity, right? So you have to die 1,000 deaths. So you have to take, you know, be willing to lose your face, you know, look stupid basically, and step out in faith, okay? One thing that was a breakthrough for me, just you know, specifically in the area of the word of knowledge, as I had been practicing it and, you know, kind of sensing, you know, we've had so many seminars and Rob Lee coming and teaching us how to, you know, hear the voice of God. You know, at this point, about two summers ago, as we were preparing our Uzbek team to go to Uzbekistan, at this point, I've heard everything I could ever hear, right? It's just, you know, no more books or no more speakers is going to inform me more on the subject. At this point, I have to just go out in faith, right? And it's humbling because as a pastor, you want to already know it. You don't want to be practicing on your sheep, right? Or, you know, people might think less. So that's one of the things that I had to die to. That's one of the things I had to be willing to lose my face in. And so Sean Smith had come while Pastor Sam was on sabbatical with Kurt Dunaway. I don't know if you guys remember Kurt Dunaway. He was he had his own company selling tires in the San Francisco Bay Area. So Sean Smith was giving us teachings, Bible studies, and basically we invited him for our Uzbek team training because I wanted to equip us. Because every time we go to Uzbek, we do, you know, prophetic word of knowledge. And so they came, they gave us a workshop, and then it got to at the end of 3 hours, and he said, okay, we got to do it. I was like, all right, you know, we were all kind of, you know, excited about it. So we got it. Kurt Dunaway, and I said, hey, why don't we pray for you, right? Can we practice on you, in essence? And so the whole team just kind of went around and just in faith, we just started speaking stuff out, like stuff he didn't tell us or we didn't know or we maybe perceived, maybe it's the Holy Spirit, maybe it's us. But either way, we just kind of went at it and we just started going word after word after word, going in a circle and I started speaking and whatnot. And man, he just started to weep. You know, this guest speaker's friend, you know, who had also come to minister, he just started to weep and weep. And he just said, man, you guys have got it. You got it so right. You have the heart of God. And he just kept saying, you guys are so ready. You're so ready. And that broke something in me. And so then we went out to Uzbekistan. And man, I mean, in that summer, I just faith and speaking out and people I never met and pictures and, you know, senses and what God is putting on my heart and just impacting lives. Right, but we had to take that step of faith. It took a few measures of steps of faith. It took a few measures of getting it wrong or looking, you know, like we don't even know God, right? Like, do you really know God, man? Like, what did you just say? It took a few of those moments to get to the place where we got it. And so step number three is take three steps, right? So God may be calling you something and you're not sure, right? Well, you can't just assume or expect God to package it perfectly and bring it. You're going to have to take a few steps in a direction, right? And then, okay, maybe God, is this it? And then, yeah, I feel like it is. And then you just, you know, sometimes you just kind of, you know, gird your, you know, stuff and get together and just ram through it. And then, okay, praise God, you did it. Or maybe it wasn't. Okay, God, well, maybe it was this way. And you, so you just keep cultivating that, okay? So what does it look like to be holy and sensitive to inquire? I'll give you this one example and then I'll wrap us up. It's a testimony that kind of came into fruition, I think into complete fruition just in this last few days. But when Sean Smith was here a couple years ago, you know, I mean, he's been here several times, but I've had occasion to speak with him one-on-one, and he was sharing with us, or maybe a small group, how he had felt like he'd kind of missed the boat. As a young prophetic evangelist, you know, there were peers that he was ministering together with, and they had a conference and whatnot, and eventually these peers, you know, went on to become big names and you know, big conferences, you know, global, all around the world doing, you know, prophetic conferences. And Sean, you know, in some sense was not relegated, but kind of more limited to, you know, kind of smaller events and whatnot. And he wasn't, like, complaining or anything. He's just, you know, just an observation. And but here's a part of his testimony was, you know, he grew up without a father. If you guys remember, his father was wrongfully murdered by police in the Oakland area, right, while he was young. Altercation or whatnot, misunderstanding, and gunned down. And so he didn't have a father. So for his son, Brandon, right, you know, he had a choice at one point. Am I going to go and pursue, you know, all these opportunities that are available for me, and I can become this great prophetic leader, you know, and be the face of the prophetic ministry in many ways, or am I going to be a father to my son? And I, you know, he didn't communicate how or the process, but I assure you that as David did, he cultivated an attitude or a heart of humility in which he asked and he inquired of the Lord. And I assure you that the Lord told him clearly, Sean, this is not for you now. I want you to take care of your son. And I'm sure it wasn't an easy thing. An easy thing, but not an easy thing. And he obeyed. And so he did that for, you know, 18, 19, 20 years. He was there after school. He was there teaching his son how to play basketball. And his son I think it's his second or third year playing college-level basketball, Division I in NCAA in the United States for Cal Berkeley. And so, I mean, and not only that, but he actually goes on tour with his dad to do ministries. And here's how I kind of wrap it up. Just a few days ago, Annie was watching something online, you know, with some of the biggest names in the prophetic ministry, you know, a conference that Bill Johnson was leading. And in the last year, Sean's name has been popping up. You know, he's been, you know, sort of featured key speakers in a lot of these events. And so God totally honored, you know, his one, letting go, humbling himself, learning to listen, and then the hard part, learning to obey. And he obeyed, and he did, and God totally honored and blessed him. And so here he is now doing all these things. So just this idea of learning to listen and obey. And the Bible says that Jesus, even he had to learn obedience through the things he suffered, right? Jesus had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. Right? I mean, there were some things like automatic, okay, not a big deal, but there were some things that Jesus had to struggle through, right? That he had to process and struggle through in his head and say, okay, can I really lay down my majesty, right? I think one of the things, you know, at the Garden of Gethsemane that, you know, in some form or fashion the enemy may have assaulted him in is, hey, man, you're God, right? You're God, and you really think that if you lay down your majesty, that if you go to the cross, you can lay all this down, and can you really trust God the Father in this? You know, maybe one of the things he had to process. And then he had to look back in 33 years of ministry, in all the ways that God the Father had provided and shown and proven that God loves His Son Jesus. And so he learned obedience through the things that he struggled. Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. And just meditate and focus on just this idea of being supernaturally sensitive. You know, cultivating just a daily lifestyle of humility. It's the same words that I used yesterday. And at the heart of it, it's getting to a place where it's not that we're not sure, or it's not that we're not confident in our ability. That's not it at all. I mean, all of you, you know, incredibly gifted. And like many people in this world, or like most people in this world, you could go through a whole lifetime doing it your way. I mean, you can even be saved, and you can even get into heaven and still do majority of the things and the choices in your life your way. And some of us are content with that. Some of us are okay with living with the consequences of some of our bad choices. But my challenge and charge to you this morning is that we would desire nothing short, nothing else than seeing the face of our Lord and Savior every day. You know, being able to turn and walk with Him and ask Him, you know, here, Lord, left or right. Here, Lord, go or stay. And then cultivating just a lifestyle. Man, where day after day, God is showing up, not once a month or every once in a while, but day after day. And my prayer for you really is that you would just, man, you would long after Him. You know, like sometimes we go like a year or 6 months and things don't go right, and then we begin to long after Him, right? You know that feeling, right? And it's a painful feeling at times, but then it's also sweet because like you never feel closer, and you're worshiping, your praise and your prayers are so sweet. Man, what if you could do that every day? What if, like, after every meal, like, you can't eat a meal without thanking God and being broken? I want that longing. Like, every moment that there's, like, a pause, a moment, and I just, like, God, I need you right now. I mean, I don't need a decision. Everything's fine. But, God, I just need you. I need to know that everything that I'm doing is pleasing and acceptable to you. So let's just meditate on that today and how that might speak into our desire to live in purity, and then two, cultivate an attitude of asking, and then three, cultivate a lifestyle of taking steps of faith. Let's meditate on that as Hannah leads us in a song of worship.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar. Let's go to our prayer focus this morning. For our missions focus, let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Nate and Pastor Ken and the 11 SP members that left this Monday and are there now. Let's just pray a spiritual covering over them, protection, that they would just move in power and authority with not just proclamation but demonstration, and that many would come to faith. Let's pray for Pastor Bob Oh and the New Life Church and Pastor Tang in Cambodia, and also for Grace Chung as she's our full-time sponsored missionary in Cambodia. Let's pray for the Center of Peace Orphanage. Let's pray for the Philippines and Solomon's Porch Clinic, Elder Jang, Chia's father. Let's pray for Bhutan and the Bible seminary that we helped sponsor and donate towards last year. Let's also pray for Thailand and the Rain Tree Foundation that we went to this past summer. So let's just pray and cover these ministries in Asia and pray that God will just use and move powerfully in each of these ministries. Just pray and cover. Let's pray for SP Ministries. Pray for the IP team and Matt as he leads, the backbone of our church in prayer. Let's pray for Cascade, for Becky Sine, and they meet every Monday to do inner healing and deliverance. Let's pray for Larry Sine and The Well. And praise God, he's walking and standing. He just came through a surgery on his ruptured disc. And praise God, he's proven and shown again how faithful he is. And let's just pray that God will continue to use Larry to heal people every Sunday, and that there will be testimonies of praise and worship. So let's cover our SP ministries. Lastly, let's pray for our SP 1.5. Just pray for all the logistics. Dates will get moved around here and there. Just pray that the leadership, the steering committee, China Cam, that all things would be smooth and the transition would be smooth, and we would be able to secure all the logistics and admin that goes into moving successfully there in September. So let's cover and pray for this. With your heads bowed, I just want to close with this thought. I was on a 2-week mission trip back to back, and every chance I could get, I had to, call home or get on a Skype or whatnot and see my wife and kids. And even when I'm here during the week, I can't imagine going a day, without talking to my kids or seeing their face, or my daughter Noelle. And just this thought that it would break my heart if I was there every day and she didn't talk to me, or she didn't ask me for any advice. And I, you know, I'm there and I'm trying to communicate and tell her how much I love her, and she's doing this and that and falling and tripping, and I say, hey, don't, you know, but she doesn't inquire, she doesn't ask. Man, it would kill me. I would die a thousand deaths. And here's the thing, I wouldn't get necessarily so much joy when she asked me and I'm right, and here, this is how you do it. It would be enough that she just acknowledged me. That would bring me so much joy. And so it's not so much about, God, do I go left or right? And God says, go left. Okay, I'm going to go left. I think that's secondary to just being in God's presence. You know, so I think another thing we have to guard our hearts against is just going to God, the vending machine, and getting the answers, and being able to be at peace with the knowledge and fact of just being in His presence. And then I think everything overflows out of that. So Father, we come before You this morning, and we thank You, God, that Your unceasing love is always before us, behind us, around us. God, that even if You said go right and we went left, God, You could, you know, kind of rear us back into the right path. God, I know that You can always make a way. And I know that also there are very real consequences of our actions. But God, we acknowledge today that the most important thing is just being at Your feet, being at Your presence. God, telling You how much we love You, telling You that You're our Father, and that we love being with You, that we love, you know, hearing from You. And so, Lord, we just confess, God, that we try to make a formula, or we got everything that we need, and so, you know, we kind of shelf our relationship for a little bit or until we need it. Lord, I pray for myself and for every person here, God, that we would just cultivate a heart of humility. God, that at every moment, at every pause, Lord God, we just, even if it's not inquiring about a direction, God, that we would just pause and say, God, we love You. God, You're here right now. I need to know that You're here right now. And that we would walk in that and live in that, and that that would direct the directions and the things and the places we go and do. God, we thank You so much. We thank You that You're here now this morning. And God, that when we leave, that you don't just stay here and wait for us to come back, God, but that You go with us. And we thank You, Father. We love You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.